The Teach Middle East podcast is brought to you by schoolfinder.ae. Schoolfinder.ae is a comprehensive schools directory serving the United Arab Emirates. Is your school a member? Go to schoolfinder.ae to find out more. Now, enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Teach Middle East podcast. My name is Lisa Grace Wilson, and I am on the podcast today with Anam Arif, and she is the head of ICT and innovation technology at English Language Private School in Dubai. And we're going to be diving into STEM education, STEAM education. This is a good topic because we are now in the month of October by the time you're hearing this podcast, and we are in STEM MENA month. And where have you been, guys? STEM MENA is the largest STEM conference in the Middle East where we dive deep into STEM teaching and learning.
You are listening to the Teach Middle East podcast, connecting, developing, and empowering educators.
Should I be saying STEM or STEAM? You know, that's something that we've been getting a lot of, STEAM innovation, STEM innovation. But guess who? Anam is passionate about STEAM and STEM, and she's at English Language Private School, and I'd love to welcome you to the podcast, Anam.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Hello, everyone. My name is Anam, and as Lisa has given an introduction, I am a very STEM passionate person. Then again, it's STEM, it's STEAM, it's STREAM. You have so many other names, but we would keep it to STEM because it is more of the core subjects where science, technology, engineering, and math are coming in. So thank you so much, Lisa.
You are welcome. And Anam, I'm having Anam come to STEM MENA to be one of our STEM coaches. So we're excited for that. And if you are listening to this podcast and you are a STEM teacher and a STEAM teacher, just go to stemmena.com to register. Or if you want to be a STEAM coach or a STEM coach on the day, just email me at editor@teachmiddleeast.com. We're looking for about four or five. I think we already have about three so far. Anyway, we need some more. So we're looking for a few STEAM coaches, STEM coaches, to actually give help to other teachers on the day to make the most of the workshops. At STEM MENA, we're going to have STEM Talk, which is TED type talks about STEM. And we're going to have also, we're going to do workshops, and then we're going to have the STEM Awards. By the way, guys, STEM Awards, we had over 100 entries for STEM Innovation in the Classroom, STEM Teacher of the Year, and STEM Club of the Year Award. So it's going to be great. But Anam, English Language Private School. Yeah. I've been in the UAE for a long time, and it just was not fully on my radar. Take me into your wonderful school. Describe it to me.
So let me give you a very quick brief about English Language Private School. We are one of the oldest schools, you'd be shocked, in Dubai, in UAE. We were founded in 1978 and one of the few licensed non-for-profit school. So by non-for-profit, we are very proud of this when we say that we are a non-for-profit organization, because whatever we gain from the students is returned to them back in terms of their resources in the classroom, the quality of education, the teachers, you know, all of those things. So we work very differently compared to many commercial schools. And I may sound very more proud and confident about it, but it is a fact that the level of education that we're giving currently in the school, the technological resources, whether it be smart boards in the classrooms, you know, the different type of STEM resources in the classrooms, the makerspace labs, the design and technology lab is actually either very much competitive to the other commercial schools or way better as well. So this is something that we're very proud of at the moment, the whole STEM setup that we have recently introduced in the school. So maybe, you know, we like to be a little more voiced out now at the moment because of the level of work that English Language Private School is doing for the students and the teachers in education.
Listen, we love to highlight good practice and innovation here at Teach Middle East. And that's why I'm excited to learn more about sort of like, you know, what you guys are doing there. I might need to pay you guys a visit because I haven't been there for some reason. Definitely. You know, it's just not been on my radar. But like, I know the school, we have all the schools on schoolfinder.ae, but I just, I don't know. Anyway, I'm glad we're chatting. You mentioned
it's basically two schools. We're two sister schools. It's the Pakistan Education Academy, which is more of a federal board towards the Pakistani curriculum. And then we have the English language private school, just opposite to the St. Mary's. So, you know, all of the old schools, you have Sheikh Rashid there, you have St. Mary's there, and then you have English language private schools. So it's we're in the same community. I don't know why we're just hidden.
What's your
in the
curriculum?
Back.
What curriculum do you follow?
So we're following, yeah, the National Curriculum of England. And we do have, you know, we're following, we have EYFS, which is our FS2, then from year 1 to year 13. So around 2,000 students at the moment. It is a huge school, but you should definitely visit. And I would actually like to invite every other STEM enthusiast who is looking into, you know, exploring more STEM resources and design labs. We are very open to collaborating with schools. We've done different collaborations recently, so we're always welcoming.
Yeah, guys, go see Annam. Go to English Language Private School. Check out how they're developing their STEM, because they're doing great stuff over there and they're open to inviting people to come and see what they're doing. All right, Annam, let's dive into what you're doing there. You mentioned that you have some STEM programs going on there. Can you tell me more about what they are?
So recently, we dived more core into STEM, where we decided that rather than just having a robotics class, we needed to explore more about STEM, having a core STEM curriculum. With STEM curriculum, we wanted more of cross-curricular links. So not only STEM in a science class, which is very obvious, we wanted STEM in an Arabic class, STEM in an English class, you'll be shocked, STEM in a math class, and even why not STEM in an MSc class? Because we were able to understand that how STEM can have so many integrated links with different sorts of curriculum. So the key was, you know, that having it run from year 1 all the way to year 13, introducing design technology at IGCSE level as well in the middle, because then again, it has links with your CAD designing, your prototyping, your project work, you know, all of that. And then introducing technologies like drones, Lego Spike Prime kits, Lego Steam Park. For the younger ones, we have MTiny. You'll see MakeBlock Ultimate 9.0 in the, you know, in the higher grades, like grade 8, 9, and 10. So it was more of having a makerspace lab, a junior makerspace lab, and a senior makerspace lab for students of all age groups to come in, explore, you know, the STEM curriculum, work with different projects, make something, you know, be proud about related to that. And then also integrate those technologies into other subjects. For example, you know, maybe in Arabic, we have class VR headsets. You will be amazed to see that our Arabic teachers are using class VR in their classrooms, like, you know, virtual reality, augmented reality. You will be amazed to see that we have lections happening of English in our STEM classroom. For example, whatever they've learned in the STEM class, they have reflections of English happening in there. We do have a promotion of eSTEM, which is entrepreneurship STEM. So whatever the product of STEM is made up in the class, the students have an opportunity to build a business plan around it. You know, they make a business plan, they go for the business skills. And then, so this is how we've started making this STEM web diagram, where we are integrating different subjects with STEM and coming out of the norm of only limiting it to science, technology, engineering, and math.
I want to give you the finger click. That is fabulous. I love it. I want to find out, how did you get like your Arabic teachers and your English teachers to really embrace that whole STEM ethos in your school?
What happens is, of course, a teacher who's coming from the same science background, it is always easier to work with her. You know, you might just go through one training and she's always on the go and she would understand. But getting a non-core teacher, like an Arabic teacher, an Islamic teacher, you know, an English teacher, getting her on the same page on the STEM is very difficult, because then you have to go with more trainings. But then again, I would say that alhamdulillah, we are very much lucky to have a very set of quality teachers who are able to, you know, pick up the pace with us. I would give here an example of the class Mia had said that just asked me how Arabic lessons, you know, how the Arabic teachers are doing it. Recently in the Air 3 class, I was visiting the class on my, you know, the learning walks that we do. And I saw the Arabic teacher. She had a lesson on food spices, foods and spices, you know, just generally talking about food and the spices, nutritional values, all of this. It was primary Air 3. And she used Class VR headsets to go and explore the food markets around the world, which was really amazing because what students did is they attended their Arabic class for the whole 30 minutes. The remaining 10 to 15 minutes, they used those Class VR headsets to go and explore the food markets in Turkey, the spice market in Mumbai, you know, the street food market in China. So that was something where they started linking those real life applications because whatever they're learning. So the integration of having STEM in Arabic class was never something that anyone could have thought of, to be honest. You know, Arabic is there, like we are here to promote Arabic. We're here to promote Islamic values in the school, promoting the UAE culture in the school. So all of this has started linking to the vision of 2030 from Sheikh Mohammed, which says that, you know, you have to have STEM everywhere, science and AI and IoT. So it's happening like this, yeah.
Yeah, no fab, because I wondered, you know, kind of get that enthusiasm. And I love the example that you used about having that class VR headset, transporting the students to different locations, food markets, etc. And it can be used for so many, many more things. In terms of the e-STEM, talk to me about a project that you have seen that has come to life in your school.
So recently, our students, they made a Terra Sustainable Garden. It was a garden that was made on solar panels inspired by the Terra Pavilion in Expo 2020. So, you know, producing clean energy, renewable energy, using just simple items, solar panels and some inverters, some batteries. Our K-12 students, to be honest. And the results were really amazing. They were able to make a device charging station where you can just go in and plug in your devices and charge your devices for free. You know, you have a corner in the school where you're not paying a single dirham and you're charging your devices for free. So that is a time where students themselves, and, you know, I was their mentor, I was with them, and we decided that we need to propagate the idea more in terms of, you know, having a proper business plan. And the links came from the Zayed Award of Sustainability that was recently they closed the applications. And they asked us to make a proper business plan on the same. And they said that we want students to make a business plan when they're presenting their ideas. You know, it's we've already applied for that and the applications are done and we're waiting for the final reviews from the judges. So I think that kickstarted the Zayed Sustainability Award, really kickstarted our mind towards having a STEM project and then having a business plan for the project. And then we started integrating it more into our lessons where we said that instead of having a STEM class, we could always have an e-STEM class where, you know, students can come in and they can sell out their products, talk about the product at the end of the class, you know, more like a Shark Tank approach where they come in and then they talk to the judges in terms of their teachers, of course. So this started highlighting more of their business skills, their marketing skills. You know, they started thinking about the cost of the product. They started thinking about the material of the product. So this is why we said that, no, e-STEM is always better than compared to having only the STEM in the classroom.
I love the whole e-STEM idea. Is just giving me loads of ideas around how we can take the STEM learning to a whole different level and give the students skills that they could literally walk out of school and start their own enterprises and run their own enterprises. And if they even don't do that, just giving them the language around that, you know, marketing budget, production cost per customer acquisition, cost for material and cost for labor and, you know, all these things that they could encounter in the world of work and business. Yes. I love it. How do the students react to this approach of interdisciplinary STEM in the school?
So what has happened is students were initially very much amazed to attend only the STEM class, to be honest. Every student looks forward to going in the STEM class on that, you know, day of the week when they have STEM class. They're excited and, you know, and we want them to be excited for the STEM class. We don't want it to be a boring theory class where they're just, you know, listening and they're silent. You know, we have this healthy noise pollution in the class. We have teachers and students talking around, and we really appreciate that. We don't want a silent class, to be honest, in our Makerspace lab. The students initially were really excited to use STEM, but when, you know, the word of mouth, it starts going out between the students. They thought, okay, we're having this, you know, integrated in Arabic. We're seeing a reflection happening in the same week in an English class. So we have aligned it in a way. We've done the STEM mapping. We call it the STEM mapping. So we've done the STEM mapping in a way that we make sure that if a student is doing a project, for example, on diseases in their STEM class, you know, they're making a cuff catcher, for example. So they have to develop a cuff catcher, which is able to catch the cuff, or, you know, which is able to not spread the germs to the other person. We make sure that the lesson on diseases happens in the science class in the same week. So this sort of gives that STEM mapping alignment to having, you know, the whole integration of an application in the real world, and then, you know, studying the same theory in their science class, which makes it more interesting for them. And they're actually looking forward to it. And they start thinking curiously. I've seen children coming up to me and saying, okay, Miss, we studied this in math this week. Are we going to do something related to this in STEM? You know, so they're actually getting really excited of this interdisciplinary approach of seeing all of the STEM mapping. So it's creating this hype between the students.
So I want to preempt, because I know a lot of people are going to come up to you at STEM Mina and they're going to be like, Anam, we heard the podcast. How did you guys get to map the curriculum so well so that it flows throughout the school? So before they ask you the question, I'm going to ask you the question for them. How did you map the curriculum so well that the theme flows from one subject to the other so the students see that connection throughout their learning journey?
So we started initially by being very simple, and this is how every school would actually take initiative, is forming a STEM committee. Mm-hmm. With the STEM committee, you mean you have a representative from every subject in your committee. You have a math representative, you have a business person, you have a lead from English, you have a lead from science, you have a lead from Arabic, from Islam, from all of these leads you have them. Okay. And then we start, you know, making a OneDrive, we start sharing our scheme of works, we start making cross-curricular documents where we have topics and we have AI-wise cross-curricular documents. So the lead is responsible, the person who's leading the subject, to fill in their part of the data, you know, and integrating it. So once you're working, you know, collectively, collaboratively on a OneDrive document, it starts to get that picture, you know, that picture starts getting visible. Like you're seeing all of these links happening with maths, the teacher's filling up, the English is filling up. So it took time, to be honest. It was our first try on this. We were expert in STEM, but we were not really much, you know, into cross-curriculars and integrating STEM. But once we took the initiative, it started, you know, things started fixing up like a puzzle. Everyone was on the same page. The team that I found was really good. The STEM committee was really strong. And the best part is the support that you get from the management. You know, that is the best part. Because if you don't have any support coming from the back end, from your management, I don't think any of your dreams, whether it is related to STEM or anything, can actually come to life. So for me, having a proper running STEM curriculum integrated, you know, with all those subjects, having interdisciplinary skills and the students seeing them, is sort of my dream, to be honest.
No, you are selling it to me. Like, I just love your enthusiasm. I love the work that you are describing. And I think a lot of schools will resonate. And I love the fact that you said, you know, you started simple. And I also love the idea of a STEM committee. So people, if you don't have a STEM committee in your school that's doing that whole mapping together, you've got to get started on that. One thing you just touched on that I love is that you said your leadership is very supportive. Talk to me about that.
So we have our principal, Mr. Muhammad Afzal, who has recently joined like last year to the school. And all of us who are working alongside with him, you know, the senior leadership team, we all are sort of the new people coming into the school. And we've started to pick up from, you know, the back end, and we're towards the improvement, you know, with those new visions and everything. So he is a person, I would say, who is more open towards having and listening to whatever the, you know, the senior leadership team comes up with. Because he's the type of person, if I go to him and I talk to him, I said, Mr. Afzal, I think we should do this, and this is how we should do it. What do you think? Should we go with this? And that person would actually say that, yes, I trust you and your skills, and you should definitely take the hold on this and you should go towards it. So you rarely find people having such quality leadership where they trust in, you know, the person who's in front of you, and then and they provide all type of support that you require in the back end, all type of resources. When I had the vision of having Makerspace Lab, Design Technology Lab for the school, English Language Private School, it was just sort of the vision. You know? It was nothing in my hand. And executing it was not possible unless and until the board of directors, Mr. Rashid, Mr. Ian, you know, Mr. Hasanukar, who is the director of the school, Mr. Afzal, they wouldn't have given me a push. And they themselves are so much into, you know, because it's a non-for-profit organization. We only care about the education of the student, to be honest. We don't care about anything else at the moment. That is our core value, that providing quality education to the students. So this was like, they were like, yes, definitely. If you think this is possible and you can do it, we have the trust in you and you should go for that.
Yeah, I love that you're supportive, because I think the leadership supporting you is super duper important. I think it just makes it so much easier as a head of department or as a senior leader when your principal or your superintendent or your director is on the same page with you, especially when it comes to STEM. Because the truth is, you can do STEM cheaply, but some of these things that we're buying, like a Makerspace Lab, really those things cost money.
Really expensive. We have a joke going around in the school where they say, she's the most expensive person. I'm the person with all those requisitions in my hands and things getting signed up and my receipts, you know, getting away from my hand. And I'm the person who's the most expensive one in the school. But then again, whether it is a design lab, a STEM lab, you know, all of these are high quality products. And with students working in them, you cannot take any risks. You can't work with anything that is, you know, going to harm the student, or you can't work with anything that is not going to give you a result. These are labs that are set up with a vision of having at least working for 4 to 5 years in the coming years. You know, we integrate sort of good quality products rather than having something very cheap and then it, you know, you're running after it again and again. So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're so right. Fine. But before we end the podcast, though, I want to talk about parent involvement, the parent community. Like, how do you guys get them involved? What's going on there?
So, as you know, parents are, I think, the most integral part of any school, to be honest, whether it is a commercial school or whether it is a non-for-profit school. They are the people who give us the right feedback of how they think their style is progressing at home. And I've seen few parents who've come up to me and they've started talking to me. And I'm very open. I'm the people's person, to be honest. So I'm very much approachable with so many people. And I've seen a parent coming up to me last month and they said that, Miss Anand, do you know what my child wants to be when he grows up? I said, I'm amazed. Tell me, what does he want to be? He said that he came up to me, my child, and he said, I want to be a drone launcher. So please, what is a drone launcher? Like, he was shocked. I said, really? He wants to be a drone launcher when he grows up. So I was able to actually link his studies. Like, he's an Air 8 student. I know him really well. He is so much into coding. You know, he's giving this out to his parent as well. He's going back home. He's telling his mom and dad that, hey, I did this in class. When I grow up, I want to become a drone launcher. I don't know if that exists or not, but I want to become a drone launcher. You know, that sounds so cool that he wants to do something which is not even there currently in your hand. We also have International STEM Day. We do have an annual STEM fair, which is sort of the big highlight event of the school every year. And we make sure that the parents are involved in students that make the projects of the STEM. We call the parents in, you know, especially the students whose projects are there out there on display. We make sure that the parents are involved, you know, they come in and they're very happy standing and projecting with their students and, you know, looking into other parents, having that community bonding happening, discovering STEM together. The third highlight as well that I would like to mention here is our recent participation in the Mobile Image 50. We chose the Inspire category, you know, especially because we knew that the parent involvement in the Inspire category is really close. So it's the category with the small children, for example, age 4 to 7. We have parents coming in. Our first parent orientation for the Mubarak trip is actually happening tomorrow. And we have parents coming in who would be doing the coding and the makerspace, you know, with the MTiny, having those controllers in their hands together, sitting down with their children, having that quality time, understanding the competition rules, and then actually going to the competition in Abu Dhabi in November qualifiers and supporting the student. So we have made sure that whatever STEM initiative that we take in the school, we do give preference to the parents because they are the people who give us the right feedback. And seeing all of this happening, the interdisciplinary skills that I just discussed, you know, developing in the students, seeing the STEM happening in there, you know, we propagate a lot of things on our media as well. You'll see a lot of pictures and videos of how our STEM labs are going, the design lab going. So the feedback that is now starting to come from the parents is really loud, really evident of whatever impact that STEM is making on their students' life is really obvious.
Amazing. Amazing. That's a fabulous place to end the podcast. It's been a pleasure, Annam. You have been doing
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Rita. I would definitely like to thank you as well because you have sort of become, you know, the voice of STEM, to be honest, more than me. You're making sure that schools like English Language Private School are those who are doing so much, to be honest, but they're not too much into the limelight, you know, just because we are very non-for-profit, we are more focused towards the education rather than more towards, you know, the marketing and all of that. But then again, I think the credit goes to you at the end for, you know, making sure that you highlight all of those things happening around you.
Amazing. Thank you. We want to share good practice. Thank Wherever you. It's happening, we don't discriminate. If it's English language private school, we want to big them up. Any school that's doing something fabulous can always reach out to us at Teach Middle East. We're always willing and able to highlight them and shine the spotlight on their good work. So Annam, two thumbs up for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Teach Middle East podcast. Visit our website, teachmiddleeast.com, and follow us on social media. The links are in the show notes.